We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back to the Huddle. Mike, Max, Pete, Nigerian, joined by Larry Day, who is, I'm just really looking forward to this. Pete, you know Larry, and you go way back with him. Give him his proper introduction and take it away.
Well, you can't say enough good things about Larry Day. What a wonderful person he is, and some of the work that he's done in his lifetime and the couple of jobs that he's had. But I think we just jump right into it, Maxie. Larry, great to have you with us. And I'm curious if you can give us any highlights during your years working as a DEA agent and the undercover world, and how do you prepare for something like that? I'm just curious, how does that even become something?
Hey, my brother Pete, it's great to hear your voice. We don't get to talk enough, and I'm delighted to be on this show and share some experiences with you guys. You want me to go into some career stuff first?
Give us a little career.
Yeah, how do you end up there? Yeah,
how on earth?
Well, so you know, I became just a regular old police officer at San Jose PD back in 1991. Went through the academy, and it's a rather large police department. It's city of 1 million people, 10th largest in the United States, so it has its significant urban problems. So just doing the regular police work stuff, I learned on the streets I don't want to say quickly because I'm a slow learner, but I kind of learned how the game was with drug dealing and the gangsters and stuff like that, and so got involved in working that really hard on the streets, and went to a street narcotics unit and worked that for a couple years. And from there, we have a DEA task force, a federal task force in town. And what they do is they kind of try to supplement their unit with local police officers to work as task force agents. So I was able to test and get into that unit. And truth be told, though, that was a really short-lived experience at DEA. It was only a year and a half before I moved on from there to go do some other things. But for a year and a half, it was, seeing the inside of the inner workings of the high-level drug cartels in the United States, and that was really eye-opening. So that's kind of how
Larry,
I got there.
We got a problem here in Minneapolis, probably most urbans do, but obviously the George Floyd originated here, and there's lots of carjackings now and gang violence and lack of respect for police departments. Is that urban everywhere, and how do you penetrate that if you need to figure out what their next move is going to be?
Yeah, and it's weird because, the struggles with police and communities throughout the United States really gets magnified on, by the media as maybe an us versus them attitude. And I think that's just perpetuated by the media. But in reality, and I'm speaking specifically of San Jose, the city of San Jose, we have such a strong relationship with our community that such support. I mean, we could go into why that is, from a professional standpoint and all that, but basically, we try to do things right, and we always have out here. And so we have the respect of the community and the community's cooperation. So once you have that, tackling those major problems becomes a lot easier because you have help from the community to address those issues, and you have the support. And it really isn't a us versus them when you're talking about the community and the police officers. It's really a us versus the bad guys. And we were able to take out the bad guys pretty effectively that way.
And Larry, it seems like you and I've talked a little bit about this, not a lot about this, because you know I never know how deep you want to go. But I will say that it's pretty interesting some of the lifestyle that you had to as you go undercover at times and right. kind of look the part and all is that difficult? I mean, just walk Maxie and I through how crazy that is to actually be within that group and see what's really going on, the mechanics of it all.
Right. So, you know, going forward with my career, I went from the DEA task force to an FBI task force, set up quite the same, where they have local police officers work with the federal agents and tackle the local problems on a bigger level. So now that, again, wasn't a very long-lived experience. That was another year and a half, almost 2 years. And I worked Asian organized crime. So back then in the 90s, late 90s, we had a big issue. Silicon Valley was booming. The computer industry was booming, high tech, and we were getting armed invasions of companies, businesses, by Asian organized crime. They were stealing the computer devices and selling them on the black market. So we put a task force together and went after them. And there were some really big operations that happened back in that time. Operation West Chips was one in the 90s. You guys could probably Google that and see how that went down. And then we spun off and did another investigation off of that. But then from there, Pete, I think what you're hitting on is when I ended up going back to San Jose PD to work assignments there, I ended up working the criminal intelligence unit. And my assignment in that unit was outlaw motorcycle gangs and prison gangs. And that's where kind of the undercover stuff started to happen for me. Specifically with the outlaw motorcycle gangs, and I can go further into that if you'd like.
Yes, go further into that. What's it like to penetrate a motorcycle gang as one of them?
Well, you know, so here was the battle with that. So in San Jose, and again, if you guys historically, I'm not sure everybody remembers this, but there was right after 9/11, right around 9/11, obviously everything turned to terrorism, and that's what we were focused on. And that was on a national, international scale. But and I had to help out with a little bit of that stuff. But again, my focus was outlaw motorcycle gangs and prison gangs. So I started getting, you know, a little dirty look to me, you know, growing the hair out, growing the beard out. And during that time, again, not sure if anybody recalls this, but there was a battle out here on the West Coast between two outlaw motorcycle gangs, the Hells Angels and the Mongols. And it reached its peak in Nevada, in Laughlin, Nevada, when there was a shootout at a casino. So the issue with that in San Jose specifically was we had both those outlaw motorcycle gangs operating in the city of San Jose. We had the Mongols and the Hells Angels. So my job was to find out what the heck these guys were doing and when they were going to do it. And so infiltrating them was not the goal, and I want to make that clear. First of all, from a command staff level, that was not going to happen. They were not going to let me become an undercover guy and infiltrate either of these motorcycle gangs for the, you know, the obvious reasons of the danger involved and the liability. Sure. And all that stuff. And would it even work on a big term scale when you're just a local police department? That's stuff that the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Agency does, the ATF. And those guys are the premier experts at infiltrating outlaw motorcycle gangs. They've done it numerous times. And so my role, again, and I'm long-winded here, my role was to kind of look the part, to find out what these guys were doing, and then to relay information to our patrol officers so that they could take action, and our special operations group, so that they could target some of these bad guys and remove them before danger really hit its peak. So it's kind of like, I would socialize with these guys. I would go out, I would hang out at the bars, I would be at their events, and I would get to know some of the guys, but not in the aspect of trying to infiltrate. I was just a fly on the wall, just trying to, you know, I would show up and, you know, I'd drink beer, I'd hang out, I'd talk to them. And through doing that, I kind of knew the ins and outs of the group, and I was able to relay that intelligence back to my department and upwards to the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms so that they knew what was going on. So it was really, again, a fly on the wall. I never got recruited. but I was around their operations, not on the inside. I couldn't tell you exactly who was doing what, but I kind of had an idea from the drug dealing and the violence aspect of what was going on in those organizations. So that was kind of that.
Isn't that fascinating, Maxie? I tell you, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And real quick, Larry, I know we're probably pushing up on time, but and over the last few years, how many years has it been that you are security for one of the NFL teams?
Oh yeah, so I was still a police officer. I was a sergeant doing stuff at San Jose PD, and some stuff came along where I ended up meeting one of the head security guys from the local NFL team here. And, they'd asked me if there was stuff I did on the side that I could help out in a security capacity with either the team or the corporation. And we were able to do that at my police department. It had to be authorized by the chief of police. It was a side job, not uniform related. It was plain clothes. And so I got the approval to do that. And so that was way back in 2013 is when that started.
And is it enjoyable? Is it fun? Is it different with COVID? What is it?
Oh gosh. Well, enjoyable is, for a football fan like me, is an understatement, because again, I also kind of, not comparing it to the doing the undercover stuff, but you know, I'm a fly on the wall with the team because I'm doing security.
Sure.
Protecting them, but I'm around them. I see things, I hear things. I'm a fan, so I try not to be a fanboy and fawn all over them. I try to do my Secret Service role in protecting them and doing the things that I have to do. With COVID, it entirely changed. Last year I did not work one NFL game. I was not in one NFL stadium during the whole season. But the team still traveled. The owners still had to go places, the general manager, the coach. And so we still needed to be around them. We just were not present during the games. So that was kind of odd, but it's, you know, for me, for being a football fan, it's been combining my two hobbies and joys in life: police work, which paid me, and then doing football stuff, which pays me also. It's kind of a dream come true for a simple guy like me. You know, I mean, and it's my favorite NFL team that I grew up loving as a youngster. So that just kind of is the icing on the cake right there. It's really been a fascinating ride.
Well, Pete called my attention to you, and he was right. Very interesting. I hope someday you come to Minnesota. Pete, can we have lunch if we do? Because I think it could be a 3-hour lunch if I could ask all the questions I'd like to ask.
It'll turn into a dinner.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I'm, obviously you could tell I can talk a lot as I took up most of the airtime. But hey, if you guys could have me out there when it's not -24 wind chill, I'll be there.
Okay, so July 5th, we think we'll get there, okay?
There we go.
Larry, thank you so much.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it, man.
Take care. Enjoy your NFL today, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.